This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, it's Race Again. Frida Liu here. I'm here with Dr. Victor S.L. Tan, KL Strategic Change Consulting Group and author of 10 change management books. And we're discussing about the topic of the credibility of women as leaders. And this is, of course, based on an article that you wrote recently. But before we talk about women leadership, welcome back, Dr. Tan. Can you define what is leadership and leadership credibility?
Okay, Frida, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me back again. And on this very important topic on credibility of leadership in women. For the purpose of this discussion, I think I will give a very simple definition of leadership compared to the program that we teach in a long course. Right. So leadership is basically the ability to influence others, to do things, to achieve a common goal.
Right.
Okay. And credibility is the belief and trust people have in a leader that enable the leader to be influential. So when we talk about credibility of women leadership, we're talking about what are the things that women do that make them credible as a leader, or things that they do that hamper their credibility.
Okay. Now, is there really a... there is a difference, I'm sure, but is there really a huge difference between men and women in terms of leadership styles? And if there are, these differences, and why should they matter?
Okay, I would like to say yes and no, but saying that would not be credible. So let me provide some statistics and some studies that have proven so. I will provide three interesting statistics and studies, independent studies on this. Now, in the first study, I would like to quote by Zach Zanger and Joseph Folkman in 2011. They did a study on 7,280 leaders and evaluated on 16 leadership competencies. Now, what is interesting is that out of these 16 competencies, women excel in many areas. They excel in nurturing competency, building relationships, exhibiting integrity, engaging in self-development. And of this study, one of the things that stand out very well was that the two scores women have actually set higher or achieved higher than men are taking initiatives and driving for results, which traditionally was assumed to be men's stronghold. But this is proven otherwise. So what's interesting about these 16 competencies is that overall, women score higher in every one of them, except in strategy. And that is developing strategic perspective.
Okay, that's one study.
The one study that confirmed that the women are ahead in this game. The second study was done by a company called Catalyst. Actually, they pointed out, in terms of ROI, what about those companies that are run with a women representation at the board? The ROI shows a 26% different, 26% higher, compared to those companies that do not have any board representation of women. And that is the huge difference of 26%. And that's, in a way, very convincing. Now, the third study is by Pew Research. I'm sure you guys have heard of Pew Research, a famous research center. They actually surveyed 8 top leadership traits. And women came out five of eight of those traits ahead. And the 5 traits are similar to the previous study. Honesty, intelligence, compassion, outgoing, and creativity.
Okay, honesty, intelligence, and writing is compassion.
Outgoing and creativity. These are the 5 that they edge over men in the study. But the good news is men only scored 1 higher in decisiveness, while ambitious and hard work both scored equally.
So
if you look at this statistic, it will show that actually women are ahead in this area in terms of competency. But of course, competency alone is not enough to determine effectiveness of leadership. There are 2 other areas. One is confidence.
So, I mean, I'm looking at this just based on, if you're talking about sort of side, and then the other, based on the results, with the first survey, strategy, that's where they lack compared to men. And in the other study, it was decisiveness. And I think that's where the female side comes in, you know, because we think of the emotional side of things as well. Now, in a recent article about women leadership, you mentioned about credible and non-credible factors to affect women leadership. Can you elaborate on that one?
Yeah, of course, if you look at credible factors, simply defined, those are factors that actually allow the women to be credible in their behaviors and so on. And non-credible are those that hampers this leadership effectiveness in women. The critical factors are those things that already mentioned in this three survey, the competency. Next, of course, will be the confidence and the character. But anything that goes counter to that will affect the credibility of women in leadership. Mm. Now, I'd like to give some examples of enough example just now given about credibility in terms of credible factors. These three studies have shown. How about the non-credible factors? Mm. Non-credible factors are those things that women themselves, in fact, one a COO actually of Facebook, Sheryl Sandberg, said it best in her book, Lean In, where women themselves are in the way of their own progress when it comes to leadership. So this factor of confidence, you know, if you don't have confidence in yourself, your subordinates and those peers will not have confidence in what you're doing.
Right.
And certainly have lesser influence, you have lesser influence on them. So this concept of confidence is about what women do to themselves in terms of their behavior, in terms of their thinking, their mental perception of what they are capable or not capable, despite of what these three survey have said about women's superiority in those competency. In fact, one of the story was shared by in her book and also in the YouTube discussion of Sheryl Sandberg was interesting that she invited one of the speaker to talk about women leadership. And this speaker was talking about the way women feel that they are fraud. They have this feeling that they are a fraud if they are a great successor, if they achieve things, right? Compared to men, if they achieve something, they say, wow, I did it myself. That's great. But somehow, women feel that when they achieve something, they feel, oh, this is a fraud. This is a fake. This is not me. So that kind of acceptance comes from confidence.
Confidence.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the part they mentioned. In fact, there are three important areas to determine leadership. Effectiveness. One is competency, which obviously women have it in these three studies.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is confidence. And the third one, of course, is character.
Hmm.
And we're going to talk about character later on.
Okay, we'll talk about character. And I guess when you say all these things as well, so when you strategy, decisiveness, first, I guess, is awareness that we might lack based on that studies. But these are things that can be learned, right?
Yes. In fact, there have been studies that try to isolate female characteristics versus male characteristics, femininity versus masculinity. I would agree that, you know, as a trainer, corporate trainer, having trained 500,000 people, but half of them are women participants. And I would say that any of these characteristics can be learned and can be assimilated. It's the same like saying someone is an extrovert and introvert. Even an introvert can play an extrovert role if it's required. Someone who's an introvert can learn the skill to be extrovert when he's on stage, just like many actors and actresses are actually introvert in person. But when they have to play the role, they can learn this.
Okay.
And I would say a big part of nurturing has more dominant role than nurturing is more dominant role than nature by itself.
Okay.
Right?
And I think we want to get to this point where we have that right balance of yin and yang. You know what I mean? That if I look at that, you know, that the time to be a little bit more feminine and the time to be a little bit more masculine in the way we handle things as individuals, not just as women, just as individuals.
Yeah. I would like to add to that in fact, if you can incorporate the yin and yang and also the femininity and masculinity based on situational basis, right? For example, if you look at the current emergent workforce, the Gen Y or sometimes called millennials, they are more attracted to behavioral traits of leaders who are more open, who are more relationship-oriented rather than task-oriented, who are more open for negotiation rather than command and control style, right? Which traditionally is very masculine type, where the leadership style is very command and control, objective, rationale, black or white, no negotiation. Whereas the female characteristics or feminine characteristics tend to have that kind of openness.
Okay.
So if you look at that, you want to incorporate the concept of yin and yang, this is good based on situation.
Okay.
And the other one, of course, is the different industry sectors. Some industry sectors are more traditionally, in quote, more masculine, you know, kind of role people have to play compared to those that are hospitality type, services type. So the yin and yang part characteristics okay. of you know, leadership.
I think that's yes. also where our gender bias comes in. You know, when we think some things are more male or something a bit more female. Mm-hmm. But we'll discuss more about the Gen Ys and millennials after this in greater detail. I'm here with Dr. Victor S. Altan from KL Strategic Change Consulting Group. You're listening to Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Good morning, it's Race Again. If you've just joined us, Frida Liu here, speaking to Dr. Victor S. Altan from KL Strategic Change Consulting Group. We're talking about the credibility of women as leaders. This is, of course, based on an article that Dr. Tan wrote a while back. And, you know, we're just discussing some studies earlier on. And also, when you talk about, we touched briefly on the Gen Ys and millennials, right? Do you think, and you talk, maybe can elaborate further, the type of leadership that are more suitable, acceptable, and why?
Okay, I think most of us know that Gen Y is a very different breed from the Gen X and the baby boomers, or even the silent group in the old workforce. So the Gen Y, of course, comprise, they are very much influenced by the digital age of openness, of connectiveness, and so on. And that requires that kind of flexibility. And one of the requirements, I think, one of the needs of the Gen Y in the workplace is the kind of flexibility they want. So in that case, in this situation, you can see that the characteristics traditionally that we assess of women leadership about being open, being, you know, building a relationship, as we mentioned just now, rather than being task-oriented, this will be more suitable for the Gen Y kind of requirements. Mm. So we think that in this case, women will be more suited in the leadership leading the Gen Y. Mm-hmm. But having said that, as we said, these are not something that is we're either born with or not. It's something that we can learn.
Yeah.
So, and in fact, today we can see not just in terms of fashion and wear, there is still, you know, it's very hard to differentiate between what is male and female in terms of what to wear and so on. So leadership's the same.
Yeah.
Sometimes a man leader can be a leader. A male leader could be actually be flexible to be softer when the situation requires it because of understanding the individual. So I think one way to look forward is to be more customized and individuals, understanding each individuals are different.
Yeah.
So sometimes the situation calls that you have to be softer.
Yeah.
But there are also situations that calls you to be hard and firm.
Mm.
Now, even though you may be a female leader, but the time that comes to discipline somebody, you may have to elicit those so-called masculine kind of characteristics.
Okay, I'm just, as you're saying all these things, I think the terminology that comes to mind is situational leadership.
Yes.
Right? You know,
yes.
And depending on the situation,
right.
What kind of behavior you need to elicit, right? Now, much has also been said about the unfairness in terms of indiscrimination against women in the marketplace and workplace. So in your view, what are they and how do we address them to bring about a fairer workplace?
One of the things I think we have to reckon and also accept is that there is an unfairness in terms of the discrimination against women in the marketplace and workplace. In many aspects, one of the things I'm going to highlight, for example, the expected role of women in a family. Traditionally, in fact, up to now as well, the expectation is for women to take care of the child, the children when they're sick, to nurture them, you know, to take care of the domestic front, chores and so on. So at the same time, women are supposed to work in the corporate world and succeed just like men. So if you compare them, of course, it will be very unfair in terms of comparison. Now, to address this area, I think if we would like to compare female leaders to be as effective as male leaders, then we have to look at the chores that each are to do. And the fairness must begin in this expectation of the roles in the family. So the fairness and justice must begin there. That means it requires society's mindset change regarding male-female kind of responsibility. They have to start thinking that, well, if we really care about fairness, about leadership, and also in the family, we should start there. So the men should start to say, well, I have a role to play as well in cleaning up, in taking care of the child. It's not all the time my wife is going to rush back and take care of the kid when he or she is sick. I have a role too, because we're talking about equality here.
Yeah, true. So advice that you have for women to be a better leader despite or whatever gender differences that exist?
Okay, one of the way, as I mentioned just now, the 3C, competency, confidence, and character. Of course, sometimes, you know, women tend to too much focus on the gender itself. So if you start to focus on gender itself, they become conscious of it, then people will begin to realize that there is perhaps lack of confidence there. Secondly, while it's all great to exude femininity and charm and so on, but there's also a limit.
Yeah.
So if the dressing is too, you know, attractive or too distracting, should I say, it might also affect the credibility of a leader.
Right.
Focus of sometimes even the physical gestures of touching the hair, you know, putting on makeup in the middle of meeting and so on. Right?
Okay.
So all this, you know, actually undo the effective leadership of a lady or a woman, right? So I would say that one of them is that don't have to be like men in terms of leadership. I think women should be women in their style, accepting their own self and be comfortable in their own skin. You don't need to have a hard handshake like the man. You can do the feminine handshake just as confident as anybody will, you know. So be comfortable in your own skin. And also, of course, character-wise, be aligned to acceptance of the norm of society. And of course, in terms of competency, already the three studies have shown that you're way ahead, so there's nothing to worry about. In fact, I would like to quote, allow me to quote some of the great leaders, women leaders. You know, I think they would have great advice for women leaders out there. And this comes from the CEO of Yahoo, Marissa Mayer, who said this: "I always did something I was a little not ready to do." I think that's how you grow. When there's that moment of, wow, I'm not really sure I can do this, and you push through those moments, that's when you have a breakthrough. And that's confidence, you know. So confidence doesn't come under the monopoly of the man. It comes under anybody who wants to seize that kind of opportunity. And that's, I like that quote by, you know, Marissa. We actually encourage women to have confidence in themselves. And the other one that I like most was, it talks a bit about family. And this is the CEO of DuPont, Alan Kalman, who said this: "With kids, they don't do what you want them to do when you want them to do it." Sorry, with kids, they don't do what you want them to do when you want them to do it. That's correct. I said it first time, right? So, but organization don't necessarily either. You got to listen. You got to learn how to influence, right? So this is something about, it's different from managing a kid. This is a organization. In other words, getting people want to do it, not forcing them want to do it. So this is something also the women have a strength in from the study of statistics, you know, rather than the task-driven approach that men use, women can leverage on this, right? I also like to share the quote from Sheryl Sandberg, the CEO of Facebook, who said this: "Leadership is about making others better as a result of your presence and making sure that that impact lasts in your absence." So in other words, leadership should not be should come across as influential, but not to the extent it becomes too obtrusive that it prevents or hamper the development of our people or subordinates. And I think it's not complete without getting this amazing lady who is one of the top writers, and everybody knows her, J.K. Rowling. And sometimes, and this advice comes in very timely for women leaders, because sometimes, like, the concept of risk-taking. Now, men tend to excel in this area of risk-taking, study have shown, compared to women. Now, this advice, I think, is very relevant for all the women out there who are leaders. And this comes from J.K. Rowling. She said, "It is impossible to live life without failing at something, unless you live so cautiously that you might as well not live at all, in which case you would have failed by default." That's amazing, you know, messages. And I would say that from my experience, you know, having worked with many organizations where there are ladies and leaders and also participants. In fact, allow me to share a story in my class. And I realized that many times, many of the men, when I asked them whether they have any questions in class, any ideas, the men alone who volunteers and put up their hands. But one experiment I did was I purposely I do it randomly. I call on the ladies. And when I call on the ladies, I say, wow, amazing input that they have. And once they start talking and you know, they get a grip of the idea and they got the confidence, amazing ideas came forth. So this is very aligned to Sheryl Sandberg's concept of lean in. You don't sit at the side of the table, you sit at on the table, the front table, and then make an impact and make the influence. And I would say that women leaders have all the competency, and all you need is the confidence with the character, and they will excel exceedingly well in leadership.
All right. Thanks for being with us again. I've been speaking to Dr. Victor S. L. Tan from Kale Strategic Change Consulting Group, talking about the credibility of women as leaders. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.